The word that was inspired, as we heard in the first message, has so much to say about being thankful. And I said, I have to talk about being thankful. And so the approach I'm taking today is thankful men of the word. I've actually said to people who are struggling with prayer, focus on being thankful. Just think about things being thankful. In fact, spend a whole week and only pray, give prayers of thanks. Do that for a week. And then maybe I didn't give them all the details of how to do that. One way, I think, is to look at biblical examples. So today I'd like to look at thankful men of the word. And I'd like to start with Daniel, because that guy's got such a good name. Let's go to the book of Daniel, and we'll look at this example first. So Daniel 2 and verse 23. Daniel 2, verse 23. So Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23, and it's on the screen, the scripture that we're going to. Because some people have said they like that. And notice what it says here. Daniel 2, verse 23 says, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. And we heard about the fathers in the first message. It says, you have given me wisdom and might. You have made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Now, what was the thank you here happening from Daniel? Well, if you go back in the chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he said to the wise men, okay, I want you to tell me what this dream means. But not only did they have to tell him what the dream meant, they had to know what the dream was. But he didn't tell them what the dream was. And so and they're like, well, how can we do that? That's impossible. All the astrologers and the sorcerers and all the Chaldean men, there's no way we can do this. And so the king was, okay, get rid of all of you then. And it came down to Daniel, and if you just pick it up, I'll just refer to verse 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. So this is going to be all these people murdered, executed. And then what did Daniel do? Well, just verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And what Daniel did, verse 17, he said, then what did Daniel do? Right? Daniel says, okay, I have to know what the king dreamed, and then I have to interpret the dream. Well, he went to God. But he also went to his friends. He went to those, he's just like you would in this room. There's something really big coming up, and we send out a prayer request. Or we might send a text, maybe. Maybe you don't want to go too wide, but you might send a text to some of your closer friends. Can you pray about this with me? Verse 17, he says, he made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So just like there was a thank you in the announcements that were supposed to be sent out on Monday, but it was said today, I follow up with a thank you to all of you who prayed for me specifically. And here Daniel, he said, okay, guys, this is big. Can you pray about it? So this is a big thank you. And so what did he follow up? And then God opened up his eyes. He gave Daniel a vision, and then he went and said thanks, as we read in verse 23. This is important to say thank you. And I love it when I pray to God, and then I come out, and then something happens, and I say, Linda, I have to go back and pray again. And what am I praying about? I'm giving thanks to God. And this is what Daniel was doing, this example of Daniel. Now, was it just on these big occasions that Daniel did this? Well, you recall, You may recall Daniel. We know that Daniel, his custom was to pray three times a day. You remember that? Daniel prayed. Well, let's look at that verse. Let's go to chapter 6 and verse 10. Chapter 6 and verse 10. And notice what it says. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And now his life was on the line here again, Daniel's life. But he kept his priorities straight. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So for Daniel, three times a day he prayed and gave thanks. It doesn't say what else he prayed about, but every time he prayed, according to what it says here in verse 10, he gave thanks to God. What an example. Now, sometimes we can get caught up in what we, God, please, can you give me this? Can you help me with this? Well, here, Daniel always gave thanks. And there was thank you given in the opening prayer today, right, in the public prayer. So in private prayers, and you have the example of the public prayer we had today. So that's the first example, the example of Daniel. Let's look at another example. King David. Let's go to some verses here. So 2 Samuel. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22, verse 47 through 51. 2 Samuel 22, and we'll read verses 47 through 51. And just think about the way David expresses this. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me, who subdues the people under me, who delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me above those who rise against me. Right? This is all things David is expressing thanks for. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. So David, it was part of who he was to give thanks, this man after God's own heart. He says, and in verse 51, he is the tower of salvation to the king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. So David gave thanks. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16. Second Chronicles 16 and verse 7. Sorry, First Chronicles. Did I say Second Chronicles? First Chronicles. Appreciate your listening. I was just checking on that. It didn't look right. Okay, First Chronicles. Good thing it was on the screen. So what? Listen to the screen, not to me. All right, 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 7. And my subtitle in my New King James here says, David's Song of Thanksgiving. It says, and on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. So this psalm was specifically to thank the Lord. And you notice what it says here. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments, and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. And we could keep going through this chapter here in 1 Chronicles 22. Sorry, in 1 Chronicles 16. And you can do that yourself, but I want to pick it up, just what it says then in verse 34. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. I'll put my hand up for everybody and ask this question. I'll put my hand up for you. Is who's happy that God's mercy endures forever, right? Well, I've got two hands, right? With Daniel, obviously. David praised God and gave thanks to God for that. He didn't take it for granted at all. And notice verse 41. This is really powerful when you think about what this is saying here. From verse 37, it talks about priests being assigned jobs. Well, notice these priests were designated to give thanks. Verse 41 says, "And with them, Heman and Judithim and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever." So there were priests assigned to give thanks to the Lord. Don't you find that amazing? I just find David, right? He was a man who gave thanks. He's a thankful man of the word. And then priests were assigned, okay, this is your job. Your role is to give thanks to God. I'll take that. Thank you. Would those priests have rejoiced? Oh, yes, that's the job I wanted to be able to do. To be able to daily be giving thanks to God. How would you like that? Okay, your job, your role is that you have to give thanks to God continually. This was assigned. And we could go through the Psalms. If you want to hold your place in Chronicles, just so you can see the wording from where we started in verse 7, and in verse 8, go over to Psalm 105. Just so you can see, it said this was a psalm written, and then it was put into the Psalms. Amazing that, isn't it? Because we know David wrote many psalms. But you know, look at it's the same wording, right? In verse 8 of 1 Chronicles, it said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name." What is Psalm 105, verse 1? "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." So Psalm 105 is recorded in the Psalms, the psalm that David gave to Asaph and his brethren. Now, it doesn't actually say that David wrote Psalm 105 in the heading. Right, a lot of times we say, oh, that's the Psalm David, it says there. Well, David had a big part to play in Psalm 105. So David didn't write all the Psalms, right? Asaph, right, was mentioned. There were people who wrote these Psalms. But David wrote a lot of Psalms. And we could spend the rest of this message just going through the Psalms now about how David gave things. Let's highlight some. We know Psalm 105, so you should be there with me. Let's go to Psalm 106. So Psalm 106 and verse 1. Right? Again, it doesn't designate this as David's. So whether he wrote it or whether he maybe co-authored it, because it seems like Psalm 105 he might have co-authored. But Psalm 106. "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." And the word mercy here is chesed. So it comes with a lot of meaning. Have we given a message on chesed here? Who knows what chesed means? Okay, that might be a message for the future. I don't want to get on a tangent here, but it's mercy is a good translation, but it's like Merciful, compassionate, loving kindness is involved in this word. And that's not even enough, right? Let's do a whole sermon on that in the future sometime. But, right, his mercy endures forever. It hits it again. So, what's it? So that's one of the things that's in the Psalms. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Is there a bit of a theme here? Right? Okay, hold on. We had Psalm 105, 106, 107. Let's go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And there's more we could have gone to. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. His chesed. And let's keep that for another sermon to really, really flush that out for you. Either myself or someone else can do that. Right, his mercy. What else did we find in the Psalms? And I put salvation, deliverance. Psalm 18. I said we could spend the rest of the message in the Psalms. I just want to highlight a few to think about. If you want a list of things, so where did those priests get the list of things to be thanking God for? I don't know. Right? Was it things that were happening in their lives? Did they go back to God's word? Well, I think very likely they went to parts of God's word. They also, the Psalms that were being sung. Think of all these things. But Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. So what are we talking about here? This is talking about deliverance, salvation. It says, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Don't you love that? The horn of my salvation. There's a lot of meaning in there. It says, let's drop down to verse 46 in this chapter. So Psalm 18 and verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. So in the Psalms you find thanks for mercy, thanks for salvation or deliverance. Thanks for God's wondrous works. Let's go to Psalm 26. Psalm 26 and verse 7. That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Who's had wondrous works in their life? I have. Right, I'll put my hand up again. You can think of personal wondrous works. You can think of collective wondrous works. The fact that you are sitting here today is something I am very thankful for. I'm thankful that we have the technology that people are listening online. I know at least one person is, because they sent me a text. Outside that, I don't know for certain, but I'll make an assumption. That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wonderful, wondrous works. Right? And this is definitely a Psalm of David. Right? It says it right at the start. That's how I know. For Psalm 26. Thanks for God's glory. Notice this one. Psalm 30, verse 12. It says, To the end that my glory may sing praise to you, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And sometimes some people like to sit, as David did, sit and look at the stars and think, wow. And then think, wow, and you're concerned about me? Look at this. God's glory, which is shown in so many ways. Thanks. We find thanks in the psalm for God's goodness. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 1. So we had verse 1, I read that already. Notice what in verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Right, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good. And I emphasized earlier, his mercy endures forever. But part of verse 1 was also, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good. Verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. So wonderful works is mentioned again. His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Right, so his goodness and his wondrous works, it's repeated. Verse 31, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. It almost sounds like this is the chorus going through Psalm 107, doesn't it? It's like we heard the children singing. They come back and they have the chorus each part. And I could keep going in Psalms, right? This list of things to be thankful for. And if you were thinking, what can I be thankful for? Open God's Word. Go through the Psalms, quite often at the beginning of the Psalm or sometimes at the end of the Psalm. So there's some Psalms that start off, oh, woe is me, woe is me. And you get about halfway through and it's praising God. Some of them, like the ones we've gone through, right at the beginning, it's saying, give thanks. Think, oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks for a reminder. From the inspired word of God, as we heard, that God has spoken to us, we heard in the first message. So thanks in the Psalms. And as I said, a lot of those are King David inspired. This thankful man of the word who wrote a big part of the word for us. Okay, the example of Jesus Christ. I love the example of Jesus Christ because how did he pray? Matthew 11. And verse 25, Matthew 11. So look at the example of Jesus Christ. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Who are the babes? Well, right here, it was those disciples that Christ was working with that went on to become apostles. Who are the babes today? Right? We were the babes. And hopefully we go on like the apostles, like the disciples did. But what a wonderful thing to give thanks for. But you notice the way Christ said, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So all this praise that has been given. It's like the model prayer in Matthew 6 that Christ gave us, giving praise, giving thanks. There's many things we can talk about with Christ, but Christ also, we think about, and I'm sure you all gave thanks before the big turkey meal. And sometimes you had to keep saying thank you, and thank you that you didn't make me gluttonous to eat too much. That would never happen to anybody here. I had a lot of really good pie the last 3 days. And it's still in my fridge. So Matthew 26 and verse 27. Now, this is a big event, right? This is Passover. And I want you to think about this. During our Passover, those that attend Passover, which is most of you in this room, there's some younger children, but during our Passover ceremony today, what do? We pause and give thanks as part of twice during our Passover service. Where do we get that example from? Oh, from Jesus Christ. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So this is a prayer. He paused and prayed, right? He asked for a blessing on that. And I know all the Passovers I've been to, when we have that prayer during the Passover, part of that prayer is giving thanks. And then may there then be, please bless all those who partake of this bread tonight. That might be said in the prayer. But it's, thank you, Lord, that you revealed this understanding to us. Matthew 15. So Matthew 15 and verse 36. Matthew 15, verse 36. Okay, so this is a miraculous event happening here, feeding the 4,000. But what's the example that Christ sets? And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks. Who did he give thanks to? To God, the Father. He gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So if there's any young people out there, and I know there are because I saw them singing. If somebody says, oh, why do you pray before a meal? Well, Jesus Christ prayed and gave thanks. You've got an answer right here. Now, there's other places that show about giving thanks before meals. So you could add more to that. But this is a great starting point, right? Ah, yep, the example that Christ sets, that's good for me. He gave thanks. Incredible miracle happening here. But nobody says, oh, what are you doing? Why'd you give thanks? This is part of what he did. All right, we could keep talking about the example of Jesus Christ. Let's go to another thankful man of the Bible, of the Word. The Apostle Paul. What did the Apostle Paul give thanks for? Over and over again, hopefully some of you are ahead of me, you start thinking about the epistles of Paul. What did he give thanks for? He was thankful for church members. And this is a great one. And I know there's some of you that take our church directory and you use that as part of your prayer. What a wonderful thing to do. Let's look at these examples. Colossians 1. And notice, try and think about the way Paul was inspired to write this down. So Colossians 1 and verse 3. Think about the way he words this as we go through this. So Colossians 1 verse 3. So this letter, right, is coming from Paul. We know that in verse 1. Paul and Apostle, and also Timothy was involved, it seems, with this letter. And then in verse 3 it says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, I've received letters and cards and emails where people say, I'm praying always for you. Does that make me feel really good? The Colossae church received this letter, and Paul said right up front there, right, he gave the introductions so they knew who it's from, and then he said, right, and if you understand, this would have come in a scroll. So how do we do what we do today? We sign a letter at the bottom, right? We say, you know, Daniel, Porteous, you know, whoever it was, Ken Laux, they'll put the name at the bottom. Well, that didn't work with a scroll because you'd have to get all the way to the end of the end. Oh, okay, that's who it's from. Well, that's why it had to be said who it's from at the start. But then, right after that, then we give thanks to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. This was a thankful man of the Word. The Apostle Paul. Romans 1 verse 8. Again, try to hear the way Paul writes this. Chapter 1 and verse 8. So very early on again, verse 8. So Romans 1 verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Who would like to get a letter like that that says to the church in Tacoma and Olympia, I thank God, right? It says, for your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. How would you love to get a letter like that?
right? So he's giving thanks to God, but it's also he's giving thanks directly to the people here through this letter. It's really encouraging. And these words are also recorded for who? For those that read God's word. I put my hand up for everybody in this room. You read God's word. So these words are directly for you. They're not for the vast majority of the world right now. They're for those who read and understand. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. Ephesians 1 and verse 16. I'm going to do a Gary Johnson and start in verse 15. It says, therefore, verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So it's actually mentioning specific things. Do not cease to give thanks to you, for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to get a note from somebody and say, and it's very specific, right? Your love for the brethren, what is being mentioned, how caring you are, how much you encourage us, how inviting you are to come to church services. How would you like to get a note from somebody that's just thinking, oh, I think I should attend church services, and then you get someone, they say to you, or they send you a note and they say, you were so encouraging when I came to church, and I prayed and gave thanks to God, because I wasn't sure if I was going to come back or not. This is the sort of thing that's being thankful for here. Right? It says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints. Thankfulness. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3. So we know the Apostle Paul was thankful, right, to congregations and churches. Did he get more specific than that? Okay, 2 Timothy 1 verse 3. Oh, I keep turning to the wrong place today. 1 Timothy didn't look right. So 2 Timothy 1 verse 3. It says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Who is this being written to? Verse 2, to Timothy, my beloved son. Now, you've got to feel good already, right? Being to Timothy, my beloved son. Right, it wasn't his physical son, it was his spiritual son. And he says, I thank God, verse 3, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. And then, verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Who's had tears of joy? I have. Filled with joy. We started saying things we're thankful for and thanksgiving. And somebody at the table filled me with joy. Right? There was tears. Of course, I tried to joke about it. Philemon, look how specific this is. Philemon, so just, if you're in Timothy, Titus, Philemon. I say that because I struggled to find it earlier. So Philemon, 1 and verse 4. So Philemon, 1 and verse 4. It says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Mention of who? Go back here, verse 1, right? It's
it says, who, you know, the acknowledgement of who the letter's from. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, a brother, right? So the letter was from Paul and Timothy. And who was it to? To Philemon. And notice this, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. You have to feel good already. I don't want to put this letter down. I want to reread it. And then he says, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So what was happening here? There was a church congregation, a house congregation, if you right, a small congregation of people that met on a regular basis in someone's home, in the home of Philemon. So now it's getting really specific here, right? Mentioning people by name, giving thanks to God for. It's a good example to follow, isn't it? These thankful men of the word. What else was the Apostle Paul thankful for? So he's thankful for church members, and then this relates, but it even gets more specific. Paul was thankful for people's conversion. Let's look at this. Romans 6 and verse 7. Romans 6, chapter 6 and verse 7. Is it the wrong one? What I wanted? Oh, verse 17. I keep saying the wrong thing. Good thing I've got it on the screen to help remind me. Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Right, Paul's thanking for their conversion, for hearing the word, hearing the inspired word of God that we heard about in the first message, and responding to it. It says, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Right? That's Paul is being thankful for the conversion of people here. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. What's he being thankful for? For the conversion of the people of Corinth, the Corinthian church. Colossians. I know we've been to Colossians several times now, but let's go back. I should have kept the marker there. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. What's he talking about here? The conversion of people. Paul is thanking God for people's conversion, for responding to the word. Okay, let's do one more in this section. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14. Again, look at the wording here. It says, for this reason, verse 13, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Jews. right? Giving thanks to God for them holding fast to the truth, even in the midst of adversity. And I feel like in this message, almost like the way it words in Hebrews 11 about faith, time did not permit to talk of Jacob and Joseph, Ezra, Nehemiah. The list goes on, right? There's the list of faithful men of God's word that I could have talked about. And what I found studying this and reinforcing it in my head is that thankfulness abounds in the word of God and the encouragement and the examples of faithfulness. Let's end with that. I have three more verses to end on here. So 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, therefore I exhort first of all. You notice again, I exhort first of all, right, as a priority above other things, what you need to do, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Right, and it goes on to talk about leaders, right, kings, to be thankful for. Now, sometimes that's more difficult than other times in our life because it's so easy sometimes to dwell on the negative things. This is still a very blessed country we live in. We're blessed to be in and being thankful. And it says, then why do you pray? Why do you give thanks for our leaders? Well, one of the things is that we can meet peaceably. We still have freedom of religion in this country. So you could say, thank you, Lord, right? If you're finding a leader really negative. Right? Thank you, Lord, that this leader hasn't taken away freedom of religion. Right? There's things you can start praying and thanking God for. But praying for all men. And then our requests should be with thanksgiving. I think we've already seen that in the examples of these thankful men of God's word. Philippians 4, we'll read verses 4 through 6. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And it's like the children's choir that we had, right? That was rejoicing. And I saw smiles on people's faces when the children were talking about giving thanks. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Notice the emphasis here. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. It sounds like there's an emphasis here. And I'll put my hand up. Who would like to request things of God? I'm putting my hand up for you. I would like to request things of God. Well, it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. With thanksgiving. And let's have one more scripture. Let's go back to Colossians. I think it's appropriate. I feel I've been to Colossians several times. Colossians 3, verse 14 through 17. Colossians 3, verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So above all these things, put on love, the bond, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then notice again the wording of verse 17. And whatever you do, I just love the emphasis there. Whatever you do, right? And what was listed here, right? It says put on love, the bond of perfection. It talked about the word richly dwelling in you. All these things are listed here, but then it's verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, so everything you do in your life, In word and deed, that covers just about everything. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.